Kuftun Zayin today, and we're in Perek Mishameis, ninth Perek of Baba Bas. We're up to the Halakha Mishnah. Nafal Habayit Alav V'Al Aviv, or Alav V'Al Morishav. Let's say that house or automobile accident, whatever, some type of trauma, which we have no way of determining who died first. All we know is that ultimately everyone in the house died, and there was a son and a father, or some other relationship of someone who stood to inherit, and may have died first, in which case others inherited him. So now, against the person who died, we have a standing lien, let's say, k'tuvat isha, or we have a loan that he had taken out. Now, it isn't clear whether he had inherited momentarily his father before he died for a minute. If he had, then of course he had property. If he had property, then that property could have been collected for the k'tuvat isha. So that even now that it passes on to whoever is his heirs, because he obviously died at the end, it was either a minute before or a minute afterwards, but then they would be able to collect it because they already had a moment in which was theirs. Because they had that lien on it the moment that his father had died during the few moments that he was alive. So now he's got extra money. And however, we don't know that he ever lived to see that Yerusha. It may well be that his father inherited him before he died, or maybe his brothers, and whatever the case may be. So we don't know what's what. Now, obviously, each one is claiming, well, you know, the Yerusha'av Omrim, well, clearly he died before ever inheriting. So that means that when the father died, he left his money to us, including this son's money. That's where it always goes to the father. And therefore, there are zero claims against this property because he never owned this property and he never had any property. So unfortunately, his wife has a ksuva, which she's up the creek because she doesn't have any way to collect that ksuva. He didn't leave over any money. And the Balchov doesn't have any way of collecting his money. Whereas, of course, the woman of the Balchov says, well, no, what must have happened is the father died first, leaving him a lot of money, against which we want to now collect our debts, the ksuva, the balchov, and then he died. But by the time he died, we already had a right to collect. So the acharkach metabim. Beit Shammai omrim yachloku, ubeit Hillel omrim nechasim becheskata. And so, as opposed to previous case, we had the issue of a motzi mechaver olav arai, and the bachlokas as to whether motzi b'shtar sheketav. We have a completely different issue that's at stake. What Beit Hillel is saying seems perfectly logical. Since we know for a fact that the yorshim are yorshim, that's a given. Whether there was a lien or not on that Yerusha, because maybe they inherited to the father and there was no lien, or maybe, in fact, the son had already inherited it for a moment before he died in the collapse of the house in the car crash, and they got a lien on it. But right now, it's definitely in the interest of the Yorshim. The Yorshim take the place of the Niftar. The Yorshim want to come, and the Balakov want to come and take it away from the Yorshim based on a lien that they can't prove they have. So what's the issue? They're a Suffolk, they're a Vadai. What could possibly lead you to take it out of the Vadai Yorshim because maybe he survived for a moment and thereby in that moment provided them a lien to collect when they can't prove it? So it's a cut and dried case, as Beis Hillel says. No raya is necessary. Remarkably, Beit Shammai says, for some strange reason, that afal pikein, the money is considered to be in a state of permanent doubt, undecidable, and therefore they have to be chelek it between the balechov or the isha and the yoresh. So why would that be? We're going to see that the issue over here has to do with a shtar ha'omed ligbot, is it considered to be gavui? In other words, do we view something against which you have a lien as a potential to collect, or do we view it for all intents and purposes as having been collected? In which case, they're just as much a vadai as the yorshim on them. And when it comes to property, there's no concept of possession being half of the law. I mean, there is no possession. The possession is whatever is legally defined as possession. So in this case, they're both legally defined as possessors. What are we going to do? What's the dispensation of it? Obviously, achloku, because it's undecidable. Okay, says the Gemara, look, We know the general rule, and we're going to see again, there's a general rule that we've lived with all through the Bavas here, but we never really discussed it clearly in a Mishnah. It comes all the way to the end, and it's the very first rule of all. Tanhata, hamalvet chaviro b'shtar. So somebody who makes a loan with a shtar is goveh minechosim mishu obadim. He can collect from any property, even though that property has now been sold to somebody else or fell into the hands of a yoresh. And it's been many years since the guy who took the loan ever owned this property. That's irrelevant. Once there was a lien on this property, even if it's mishu obad now to somebody else, the lender is able to collect it. Yaday edim, if he can only prove that he has the loan with witnesses, he can collect, but he can only collect minechasim b'nei chorin, where it hasn't been transferred to anybody else, neither through Yerusha nor through Hakna, Matana, Mechira, and so on. Why is this? That's not absolutely clear. There's really a machlokas, as we'll see, as to whether mi'ikar hadin, there exists a shibud, midiraita, the moment that somebody takes a loan, that gives him a shibud to collect, or whether the Rabbanan had to create shibud. But in either event, the Rabbanan created a tikkun hashuk. Tikkun hashuk is, as we know, that in order to provide for blooming capital real estate markets, we needed to assure people that they could get title insurance. And the only way that they can get title insurance and be willing to put out money for a field is if there's a way to find out whether there exists a lien against the field. So whether it's a deoraita or whether, obviously, if it's just the creation of a lien in the first place, we will not allow liens or collect liens in a case where there was no way to know about them. The only way to be certain that it's knowable is by a shtar, because a shtar has a kol. So you have not only the fact that there were edim, but the fact that it was registered, signed, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's what we call today a registered lien. A registered lien, any title company can find out about, including the person himself, obviously. The Mamele can collect. But despite the fact that we know 100% that the lien exists, that the loan exists, we have witnesses. The guy himself has made it that the loan exists. That's not the problem. But even if we have witnesses, you'd say that, well, that's sufficient evidence that anybody could find out about. Not true. It doesn't generate a kol the way a contract generates a kol.
Even though we don't have anything more than, at the time, it wasn't any more, there wasn't any registering. I mean, it wasn't more than 80.
It was. That was registered. The fact that it's written means it had to go through that whole process. Had to be taken to a sofer's office who works for the Beit Din and so on and so forth. So that already creates a call.
They kept records also?
Sorry?
They kept records or just there was a call?
No, a call. A call was the record. So that's the given. Now, the question around which our sugya today revolves is Shmuel's Abai. Boy Shmuel, this idea of creating liens, we understand, seems to be built around the normal rights that you have to transfer, rights to property, and a lien represents a right. It's a right to take this in satisfaction of a loan. And I hold that against the property. But how about if I write in my lien that I am going to provide you a guarantee for this loan, not only on property that I currently own, but against property that I will come to own in the future? So I write these words, the ikni, that which I have purchased in my life, and that I will be kaina, it's all yours. And he goes ahead, and he is kaina new property. So what's the din? Is the lien not only against the property that was there in Bayrishus at the time of the loan, or is it against the property that I buy as well? Now look, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, I'm not even asking you. I mean, Rabbi Meir holds anamaknenda vashaloba liolam. So then it's no different than anything else. I can always do. I can do the craziest things. I can be Makadosh and Ish, who isn't Jewish, for when she will become Jewish. So I could certainly be Makna, a lien on a piece of property that exists in the world, even though it isn't my Rishos. So that's not a problem. Loti Bailach, I wouldn't ask that, according to Rabbi Meir. Of course, the Vadai Kana. It's no different than selling something. I can sell you something that I don't own. So that when I own it, it now is sold to you. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir's unique sheet. So I'm not, according to that, obviously I can also give a loan, even though I don't own the property. So a loan is nothing but a type of right to the property. And if I could sell you the property, of course you can create a right to that property. That's not my problem, says Shmuel. My problem is, what I want to know is, how would this work in terms of the Rabbanan? Because the reason for the right to create liens in this fashion is a very important reason. And it's a type of takaras hashuk, which is shalotino delef ifnei lovi. So what we need, again, the Gemara is firmly in back of capitalism. And one of the most important things in capitalism, obviously, is to allow free flow of money. We will not allow free flow of money if we don't allow for the concept of liens. How is somebody going to be willing to lend money if he doesn't have absolutely guaranteed real estate that he can collect it from? Certainly on a trust people's bank accounts and stocks. So in Mamela, we needed to provide liens. Now the question is, how far did we go? Did we say that people will be much more positively inclined to lending money if they know they see a guy who's starting out in life? They figure, well, we'll provide him money, a student loan, and so on and so forth. The likelihood is that ultimately he's going to be successful enough to buy a house, and he's going to maybe have a piece of property. If at that time anything happens to him, we'll be able to collect it. But suppose, indeed, if he doesn't own property now, that he can't be meshabed himself for later, so then maybe he won't be able to get any loans when he's starting off in life. So perhaps the Rabbana made a takana shalotino delet bifnei lovin, or on the alternative theory that the she'ibudim can be created midioraita. So, I mean, perhaps even this is the way in which it's created, and they allow it to be created. So that's our question over here, Sir Shmuel. I don't know how far we go with this. So even according to Rabbanan, it may well be that perhaps the Rabbanan gave a greater strength to a Sheba than they normally would have. Omer Rav Yosef Tashma. V'chachobim omrim, זה היה פיקח שמחר לו את הקרקע מפני שהוא יכול למשכנו עליו. And then we have an interesting case. A guy comes along, presents a shtar, which says that Reuven owes Shimon money, and that Shimon would have been able to collect it from him. And then Reuven says, look, this is a shtar that is a complete lie. I'll prove it to you. I have here a bill of sale in which this very guy sold me, after the date of this loan, a piece of property. Now look, if he's claiming that I owed him money, and that I never paid him, can you explain to me why he's so stupid as to have sold me a piece of property, instead of when, which he admits, it's right here, in black and white, I have my shtar mechira, I was kind of it, and it was fully paid for. Now why in the world would he have done that, and not said, I'm not giving you any property. First pay me back the money you owe me. Why should I give you property? Therefore, it shows that it's a lie. I never owed him any money. Somebody has a shtar against me that I owe him money, which I say is not, it's a fraud. I don't owe him any money. And I'll prove to you that I don't owe him any money. Because here is a shtar in which last week he sold me a piece of land that was fully paid for. And he agrees, that's true. And I'm saying, do you understand why any normal human being would have given me a multi-million dollar piece of property and said that it's entirely mine and not said, before I'm selling you the property, how about if we take a couple million off for the loan? So he didn't ask me for the money for the loan. Instead, he sells me his property. So obviously, I didn't owe him money. No normal person would do that. Say the Chachamim on the contrary. This guy is very smart. Because up until now, this guy that he lent the money to didn't have any property. So therefore, he had nothing against which to collect his loan. So he figures, what am I going to tell the guy, pay me the loan? All of a sudden, the next day, the money's going to disappear. How am I going to trace the money? So I'll go along with it. Yeah, don't worry. I trust you for the loan. And you have money for the karka. Great. We could just conclude this sale. And then today, which is a week later, I come back to be tovea my loan. And the guy will say, well, whatever he'll say, I don't have any money. But here's my contract. Oh, look at that. Nice piece of land you own, a few million dollars worth of land. I'll be taking that for the loan. So now I have exactly the money that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to guarantee. So how could that prove that he didn't lend them the money? On the contrary, it proves that he's a smart fellow. So Zehaya Pikea, he's a smart guy. Shemachalo atakarka, because now he can go be mamashkein the karka for the loan. And if he doesn't pay him cash, so he'll just take the karka back. So what does that not prove to you? that he's able to collect from that karka. How is he able to collect from that karka if the karka came into the man's reshus years after the supposed loan? Must be, it doesn't matter when you get it. The guy had written him that he will give him a lien on any karka that he is going to have one day. So that proves your answer, says the Gemara to Shmuel. Said, that's where Rabbi Yosef Tainis says, Rava, I understand. What are you proving here? Mine? Amalei Rava, mine can I see? You're saying he collect his property? Of course he can collect his property. He can collect the shirt off his back. What does that have to do with anything? When the question was never whether he can collect anything that he owns, of course he can collect anything that he owns. The question was that Shmuel was raising, does he have a lien to collect? That was the issue. And that is only going to come into play if this guy had sold the property to somebody else, or he had died and left it to his heirs. And then the only recourse that I have is if I have a lien against it. How are you showing me over here I have a lien against it? You're showing me that the guy owes me money. When somebody owes me money, I can collect it any way I want. But I can't go and take it away from somebody to whom he sold it. Here he didn't sell it. The Chachamim were saying, is it be chaos because he sold it to the guy? The guy himself didn't sell it to anybody else. So this is completely and totally irrelevant. This has nothing to do with what it was that Shmuel. I don't even know what you're bringing this in for. It has nothing to do with the issue of Shibud, Bichlal. So therefore, Kikomi Boilan, what we're looking for, says Rav, is not Minei. Minei afila beglima dal katfi. You can collect a guy's shirt off his back. The question over here is, when he was Ikne, that he wrote him, was only where he was Kona, and then he was Machar, obviously, was what Shmuel wanted to know. Where he wrote the Ikne, and he was Kona Vahorish. My, that's what Shmuel was asking. Bring me a riot to that. And then we're talking serious stuff. Amr of Khan, oh, I have a riot for that. That's our Mishnah. Perfect. Tashma, Nafal Abayit Alav Alaviv, Alav Amorishav, Vaita Alav Kituvat Isha Ubalchov. Yoshea av omrima bein met rishon v'acharkach meta av. Ubaalei chovot omrima av met rishon, and so on and so forth. Now, so what's the whole case over here? The people who have the lien against the son, they say, look, the son survived for 30 seconds after his father. In those 30 seconds, he was legally the owner of the things he was going to inherit from the father. The moment that he was an owner, we got a lien against property for the first time. Thank God. We got now the 30 seconds of his ownership of a property. Now we have a lien against him. Now we want to go and collect it from the people who inherited him after he died 30 seconds later. I understand. But they only got that lien after he had taken the loan. He obviously didn't take the loan after the house collapsed. So how can they have a tviyah now? The only possible tviyah they could have is that what Shmuel is saying is clearly taken for granted by the Mishnah. Well, of course they're going to get a lien, even though the lien may have come 10 years, the field against which they have the lien came 10 years after the loan. How else do you read the Mishnah? It's impossible to understand this Mishnah. This Mishnah is the classic case. As a matter of fact, it's amazing. How did Shmuel not realize that? The only way to read this Mishnah is to say, Da'akne kona v'horish. That's the case. And we see that they have a right to be teveya their lien. Says the Gemara, yeah, that's true. But as it still doesn't prove anything about Shmuel. Let's see it inside the raya. Esau gedayv da'akne kona v'mocha, or da'ikne, and he was kona v'horish, lo mishtabed, then the whole Mishnah becomes irrelevant. Because who cares who died first? Even if the father died first, and he owned the field of the father for 30 seconds, these people, the wife or the Balechov, would never have gotten a lien against that field because he didn't own that field at the time. So Nihinami Da'av Mit Bereisha, this is the classic case of the Ikneu, and Shmuel is doubtful about whether such a case works. Omalu Rev Nachman said, Rev Nachman, well, it sounds like a nice rye, except that Ze'iri, Reb Ze'ira, who is our friend, Chavrin, one of the members of our Chabura over here, he said, not necessarily, because he was metargamit as mitzvah ala yetomim, lifroa chovat avihem. Actually, who's to say that it's because of shibud? This is a unique situation. This is a situation of ben. Oh, now ben has now a chiyuv of kibudav, even after his death. Since he has now the mitzvah of kibudav, so Mamela Yitomim now are mukhuyev to pay up. So even though we know that he died, and we know that maybe there's no technical shibud, because it was the ikne kana v'horish, but since there was, in fact, an ownership, and now the heirs, an ownership for 30 seconds, now the heirs collected what it was that their father had owned for those 30 seconds. These are the grandchildren of the Av mentioned in the Mishnah who died. Mamela they're mechayev because of a mitzvah, so the chachamim were mechayev them to pay even though we can't collect the lien against them. So, but we're not asking that. We're asking when it was a techiyev of kibarat. So then what would be the halach? That's what we want to know. Matkivla Ravashi, I don't understand what you're saying. If there was no lien against this property, so what you're saying is that vis-a-vis the yorshim for this loan, this is a milval pet. You're trying to get out of it by saying, since it was the ikni, koneh for 30 seconds, varish, there's no lien. So then if there's no lien, this is no different than any milval pet. Are you saying that there's a mitzvah for Yatomim to pay back a milva al peh for their father where there was no recourse anyway for collection from the father? I mean, but that's not true because Rav and Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, milva al peh eino goveh, lo min ha-yorshim velo min ha-lekuchot. What happened to the mitzvah? So you see that they were only mechayev this mitzvah in a case where there was recourse to collection because of the lien. So in such a case, the Chachamim say, If there was a registered loan, and now they inherited property, even though that property wasn't the one that had a lien on it, so you'll say, okay, fine, let them pay as a mitzvah. But where there was here, there was no lien at all. So how in the world did they have to pay? Now the truth is, this is not the halach. We don't paskin like Rav and Shmuel in this. The mitzvah of the yorshim to pay is chal, even where there was no lien against that property. But who was the one that raised the question? Shmuel. Saying of the Raya from the Mishnah is talking about a mitzvah. The Mishnah is not talking about a shibud. Shmuel doesn't know there is such a mitzvah. So Shmuel doesn't know there is such a mitzvah. Shmuel himself knows there isn't such a mitzvah. Shmuel is the one who's chipping shayel. So what other way is there of learning the Mishnah then? Can't be else mitzvah. So the only way to learn it, so he was right, the only way to learn and understand the Mishnah is not the way Zeira explained it, since Zeira's explanation doesn't hold Ali B'di Shmuel himself. The only way to understand it is that indeed there is a Shibud. Otherwise, in a Gova at all. Says, well, I'll tell you why Shmuel didn't see that it was a Raya, because how do you know that the Mishnah isn't Rabbi Meir? Shmuel started off his question by saying, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, I'm not even raising this. Obviously, since Rabbi Meir holds you can sell a Dover Shalom Ba'ala, so of course you can create a Shibud and a Dover Shalom Ba'ala. So if the guy says the Akne, and he was Kana, it's a regular Shibud like any other Shibud. That's all the Mishnah says. Does it say whether it's going, I'll leave it to Rabbanon or Rabbi Meir? I was only asking, I'll leave it to Rabbanon all that ain't on a Makna Dover Shalom Ba'ala. But I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, not a Makna Dover Shalom Ba'ala. I never asked. The Mishnah's Rabbi Meir. Omer Rabbi Yaakov in our code, Mishmei Dervina, well, I can bring you a Raya. Okay, fine. The Mishnah's no Raya. What about the Braita? You can say, Stam Mishnah's, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. But here we have a Braita like this. Shtarei Chov, Hamukdamim Pesulim, the Amu'ucharim Kisherim. This is one of our fundamental halachas, in that a predated shtar is possible. Why? Because by predating it, you're giving a guy the right to collect from fields that you had already sold. That's out and out Geneva. So in other words, you sell a field on Monday, borrow money on Tuesday, and write out a shtar that you had actually borrowed the money on Sunday, and then the guy comes along and tells Mr. Monday, I'm very sorry, but I actually had a lien against this field already the day before you bought it, because he borrowed a lot of money to no good Nick. He never borrowed money. You had no right to take that field. It wasn't in his rishos. So obviously we cannot allow a predated contract. However, a post-dated contract is not a problem. Because a post-dated contract is only to the detriment, of the lender. Because he loses whatever properties were sold in between the time that he had made the loan and the time that ostensibly later he made the loan. But he certainly is not going to make any problems for anybody else. Wait a minute. He's not? What about if the guy had bought a property the day before it was dated, and it actually made the loan that the loan now is dated later, but actually he had taken out the loan before he owned this property. So then that means he's going to pretend that the loan was made against a property that only came into his possession the day after the loan. So when he postdates the loan, he's also going to be illegally creating liens, unless it doesn't matter, because even though he bought the property later, the lien anyway, that's what Shmuel wanted to know. Does a lien go on property that was purchased later? That's what he's asking. And here it says, there's no problem in postdating a loan document. There certainly would be a problem in postdating a loan document if it wasn't true that you could be meshabed a property that you didn't even own. That would make a very big difference. I mean, just imagine the situation. You show somebody that you're going to be closing on a property 2 days from now. So, and you want now to borrow money today. So the guy says, look, I'm not going to lend you money today. You don't have any property against which I can make a lien. So you say to him, okay, it's not a problem. Let's post-date the loan so that then after closing, the next day has your loan, and then you'll always be able to collect against the property that I haven't closed on yet. So if Lamaisa, I can't do that because it's a davar shelo ba'olam and I don't own it yet, so then I'm stealing. Because in the event that I sell that property to somebody else, and the guy actually does come along and collects from it, he's going to be able to take it away from him, despite the fact that he never had any lien on it. Must be, therefore, that I can collect such a lien. It also must be, by the way, that the only time that we would say that a postdated document is kosher is if it specified the akne, or the ikne, that I will be kain. Fine. Okay, that seems to me to be a great raya, says Rabbi Yaakov in Arpakot. So the Isak Daita, the Ikni, and then would be Kana Umachar. The Ikni and Kana Vahorish would not be a good Shibud. So then every star that was Mu'uchar should be possible, because it can just as easily be Meshabed, a Karka that he didn't own. So Amaiki Sherin, isn't it the Iknihu? Says the Gemara, you're 100% right, Rabbi Yaakov, but again, you have to be able to prove that this Braita is going Aliba the Chachomim. How do you know this is also not Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir holds on a Makta Dover Shalom Ba'olam, and according to Rabbi Meir, Ashtar Chov Mu'uchar is kosher. Maybe indeed, according to Chachomim, since ain't on the Makta Dover Shalom Ba'olam, Ashtar Chov Mu'uchar would indeed be possible. So we still don't have a Raya. Omre Mishashi Mishmei the Rabbah. Okay, I have a Raya. My Raya is like this. L'shevach Karka Ot Ketzad. Says over here, in a case where a guy goes ahead and purchases a piece of property from somebody and improves it. Now somebody comes along and shows that he had a lien against that property. So unfortunately, it's going to be taken away from him. Problem is, it's taken away together with the improvement. Now, the improvements could be of two types. Improvements could be improvements that were natural improvements, so that the price is different, or the land silted up, or things have grown that weren't there before. But I didn't necessarily have to put any money into. The improvements can be of the type that I did put money into. However, either way, the understanding is, at the time of a purchase, is that the seller who provides a purchaser guarantee of any costs that are going to be associated with the collection or legal fees against this land are going to be repaid by him. So he essentially takes responsibility for all of the property, and that responsibility translates into the right for the lien holder to collect all of the property. Now, you understand that very idea, forget about how it's done and what the rule is, but you understand that very idea implies that the lien holder is collecting things that he doesn't own at the time that he took the lien, because these are improvements that came afterwards. So even if there is a lien, the guy should say to him, what, are you crazy? How did you have a lien against these improvements? They didn't exist. They'll say, well, but technically they're owned by him because of the responsibility he has. And he's only giving you a right to use them until the legal disposition is determined. So even if he had bought a property, you wouldn't have been able to collect it now with a lien had he sold it. So Kosher came when the improvements came in my rishus. You're crazy? Get out of here. So you shouldn't give him over the value of any of the improvements. And yet the halacha is that the guy is able to collect improvements. Now that only makes sense if the shibud that was given originally is a shibud against future improvements. I didn't own them yet. It must be that indeed almuha rabbanan to a lien to be able to collect it even against the davar shelo ba'olam. Otherwise the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Now then, this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah now goes through. So, l'shevach karka ot ketzad. So how do you collect now, in a case, collect back? You need to go back to the seller and get your money back, right? So now when you want to collect the shevach karkaot, the actual built-in value of the karka, that is something that any subsequent buyer knows and has title insurance for. But the improvements he does not know, cannot know, and therefore cannot get title insurance for. So there's always going to be a built-in difference between the collection for the actual value of the karka. In other words, somebody comes, let's say, a year after he sold this piece of karka. The guy's got another piece of karka. The guy says, when he sold that karka, did he provide insurance for it? Yes, that's called nechas b'yesh l'machrayut. He gave him achrayut nechasim. Ah. So in other words, he has a standing responsibility to pay this guy back. Does he have any loans? Yes, he does. So that means that if he ends up paying the loan, he's going to come after me in the end, because it means he has a lien against me. I'm not buying. But suppose he leaves behind enough property to cover the value of the guarantee that the person is going to own the person he sold to. So then the person would buy. Little did he know that meanwhile there was a multi-million dollar improvement. So now this guy may end up being mechayev him the whole thing. It's because he's going to come back now and say that he had to pay him $2 million, not only the $500,000 that the property was worth, and that's a lien against any subsequent fields, which is me. That's terrible. I had no way of knowing that. So Einar Chinami, he can't collect from it. He can only collect it from his bank account or from things that he currently owns. Fine. So therefore, when it comes to a guy sells a field, Vishbicha. Now again, this Ishbicha is big machlokas in which precisely Ishbicha naturally, Ishbicha by investing money, what the dinim are and the two things. Let's just assume now in either case it's the same for a moment. Ubaba alcho vitarfa. Now somebody that had a lien against that property years ago, he now takes it away from the buyer. The buyer's now going back to the seller and he says, look, you owe me all of this money. Sukishu govet. So the amount of the original purchase that he collects, because everybody knew that there was a lien against all subsequent purchases for the guarantee of the property value, which was the keren. So we all know what the keren was. So the keren he can collect even from properties that have been sold to others in the interim. But the shevach, which is the additional value, he can only collect from the Chasim B'nei Chorin. Okay, now just think about what this means. Because Isaka da'atech, the Ikni who was Kana and Mochar, or the Ikni who was Kana Vahorish, is not Meshubad at all. Do you understand how absurd the situation is? How can a Baal Chov collect something from Shevach that occurs after the Chov that she never had a lien on? You can't collect without a lien. And if he couldn't have given a lien, even though he wrote to the Ikni, so then the guy should have said to him, hold on a second. All you're taking from this karka is the original $500,000 worth of purchase price. So the guy says, but he owes me $3 million, and this property is worth that. Yes, the property is worth that only because of its subsequent investment or its subsequent natural increase. But you never had a lien for that amount against this. Therefore, you're not getting it. So how would we ever get a case where you'd have to go back and collect that increase from the guy who sold it to you? You'd never give him the increase in the first place because he doesn't have a lien against it. Must be that he does have a lien against it. How could he have a lien against it since it's a Dover Shalom Balei Olam? Got to be that he got the lien because of this halacha, that if a person writes the Ikni, indeed it's Kanui. So despite the fact that he sold it, that's what Shmuel wanted to know, the Ikni. Kana, which was in this case, he was Kana through the increase. Yorash, not in this case, but Hikna to somebody else. Nonetheless, the guy can come along and collect what the person was Kana. He may indeed, this is the way the Muki Yosef understands it, be the equivalent of a Kone, since in taking the responsibility, he becomes now the Kone of the Shevach, even though the other person may be investing in it, you see. But that's like a Kinyan, because I'm guaranteeing that. So if I'm guaranteeing it, so the lien would be chal against even something that I guarantee. Good, even so. But how in the world would it be chal if you hold that it's a davar shelo ba'olam? Says the Gemara, well, you're right, but how do we know that this isn't Rebbe Meir? This could also be Rebbe Meir who holds. How many Rebbe Meir ye? Diomar Adam Makne Davar Shalom Bali Olam. So we still don't have a Rai. But I have another interesting question. Let's assume for a moment, we don't have a Rai. Let's assume that according to Chachamim, that the din would be, and we would have been able to prove, Imtim Tzilomar, that in a case where he says the ikni and he was kind of machar, he was the ikni and he was kind of a harish, the din would be that lo mishtabet. So then obviously a lo mishtabet is nothing to discuss. But let's think for a moment the other side. Imtim tzilomar that it is mishtabet, and of course this is always very meaningful because every imtim tzilomar presents the halakha the way the Gemara says. So the last imtim tzilomar now tells us, let's assume, okay, so that means we have a right to assume that. Let's assume that it's mishtabet. Which would mean that even according to the Chachamim, Omuhu Rabbanan to Shiburim in order to make the capital market flow. All right. Now, the question is how does that work? Because there's different ways of looking at it after all. I mean, do we look at it as if the liens were all there at the time that he borrowed it, so that the mechanism becomes almost the equivalent of a Makna Adam Davar Shelo Bal Olam, as if we held of Rebbe Meir? Or perhaps we should look at it a different way. So that somebody borrows money, he writes beferish anything that I'm going to buy, anything that I'm going to be your age, whatever, is all being given to you. Now, he goes and he makes a second loan. Years later, from somebody else. He hasn't paid back the first loan, okay? So now he writes the second guy exactly what he wrote to the first guy. After taking two loans, he then purchases nechas, right? And he sells them, or he dies, somebody's yorish them. And now we have two people who have different loans. One was earlier, one was later. And they're coming to collect now a piece of property that came into his hands afterwards. But at the time that it came into his hands, I mean, there were two loans. So how do we look at that? Do we look at it as if it came into his hands at the time? Do we say that the first guy in, like any other Shiva, you know, he was actually kind of, that's if it was there, I have a Shtar Mugdam. A Shtar Mugdam is always collected first. Or do we say that certainly until such time as the Nechasim actually appear, there's not real, in his hands, of course, there's not really any lien at all. When he is buying this property, he already owed money to the second guy, and he had already been makne the rights to property that he's been going to get, he gave first to the second guy. Because now this is the one that he's saying that the ikne. And there's no kedima because he didn't own it. So we don't necessarily have to look at it when we say amua rabbanan to give him the keach to create a lien on a davar shelo bal olam. Maybe not. Maybe, according to Rebbe Meir, there'd be no question. But maybe what the Rabbanan did over here is they simply said, look, since he committed himself in this fashion, we give him the power to assert that commitment when the field comes into his rishos. Okay, but if that's the case, at the time that the person got the field in his rishos, he had committed it to somebody else. So, I mean, it's all a matter of commitments, you're saying. So then the commitment to the latest guy, which is the guy that he needs the new loan from, perhaps takes kedima. Because he says, I promised him, and he lent me money based on this. And it's all about Almur Rabbanan. How do we look at it? So Imtim Tzoloma, that Mishtabed Lezeh, Mishtabed, that he is Mishtabed. And if he was Lava, and then he's Lava again, and then he's Chazavakana, the second piece of property. That's what I want to know. How do I look at that? Mahu. Lekama mishtabre o labatra mishtabre? That's my question. Omer of Nachman, that is a great question. I got to tell you, we had that problem. Because, I mean, it cuts really to the core of the issues, of the mechanisms of Shibud. And we actually sent the Shaila into Eretz Yisrael. Noha milta iboilon. And they sent us back. V'shochu mitam rishon kana. That the Chachamim held over there, that actually it goes as if it was a Shibud to the first one, as just an extension of the original Shibud. Whereas Rav Huna said over there that it's Yachloku. And Rabba Barvu also timed it. It's Yachloku. Because what happened over here is that at the time that the property came in, there were two existent commitments to make a Shibud. So at that moment, they now, they would split it. That's That's the way we originally understood it, and actually we would prorate it. So depending how much, let's say they both get the same loan, so they would get it the same amount. If we have two loans for different amounts, so we'll prorate. It's as if it was all at one time. We look at the entire transaction as if it happened simultaneously. Now, all of this was the first time that we went through the sugya. So, Amar Ravina, Madur Kama, the Ravashi, Amarlan Rishon Kana. Madura Bata, the Ravashi, Amarlan, Yachloku. So, the first time that he reviewed the Shas in order to get everything straight, he tined at that time that it seemed most logical that the lien was chal as it was initially, like there was shochel mitam. But the second time that Rabashi reviewed the Shas before committing it, he said that the halacha is actually like Rav Huna, more logical, and that we should be chaylak in on a prorated basis. Ve'ilchata yachloku, and that's the way we paskin, that we should prorate it. Now on this, we have a real problem, because getting back now to the Mishnah of Shevach Karkaot, we run into a serious issue here. Because if you look at that Mishnah, let's think about that for a moment. The Shevach Karkaot Ketzah. Remember, the case is, guy bought a piece of property, improved the property, now clearly including case of reinvested money. The guy now has, the guy who sold it to him has provided him with a guarantee for the money that he paid for the property and for the money that he invests in the property, right? So that means that that guy, he had a shibud against that guy. And the guy who's coming to collect has a shibud against that guy. And the way in which the shibud is going to be collected is from the improvements that came after the shibud of the first guy, by definition. Remember, somebody owes money to someone. Reuven owes money to Shimon in year one of our count. Then Reuven goes out and sells the field that was Meshubah to Shimon to Levi in year two of our account. In year three of our account, Levi invests $1 million in the field. Now, we said that the investment of $1 million is guaranteed by Reuven to Levi. So besides the guarantee that Reuven has to Shimon in the actual field, he's also guaranteed this to Levi. It says in the Mishnah, that now when Shimon comes to collect Levi's field, for which Reuven is going to pay him back, the way in which Levi can collect off of Reuven's property is for the extra $1 million of investment, he can only go after unencumbered property. And for the original money of the value of the field, the $500,000, he can get it back from other properties that were currently encumbered, right? Yeah, except for one minor problem. In this case, the person himself, Levi, who improved the field, also has a lien, does he not? His lien was the promise that Reuven had made to him. Now, if the fact is that a later lien, but didn't Reuven's commitment to Shimon come first? That's true. But the field that Shimon was going to collect against didn't come first. That came later, because he got his shibud now on something that he had bought. Bought. What did he buy? He bought my investment. I invested $1 million in improving the property. And the only reason that Levi is going to be able to collect that $1 million is because I view it as the equivalent of having been bought. Why bought? Forget the technicalities, because he promised it'll pay me. I don't care what the technicalities are. But obviously, we're looking at it as if he bought it. Otherwise, how could he collect it? Right? So the reason, again, there's machlokes in the Rishonim what the mechanism is. But it clearly has to do with the very fact that he retains all responsibility for the property until the dispensation is clear, that we view it as if it's his. But I don't care how you look at it. What I do care about is where did this lien come from and when? It came from the investment in year three. Now I want to collect from Reuven. And I, too, am a lien holder. You? Hey, you only came a year later. Ah, but the property only came a year after that. And you're saying the halacha is yachloku. If it's yachloku, when Levi comes to me and says, I'm taking everything, I say back to him, no, you're not. Because I have just as much right to sue Reuven for these improvements as you have to take these improvements because yachloku. So I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll allow you to take half of them, and then I'll have to go back and sue Reuven for the half of the improvements. You could take the whole property and half of the improvements. But over here it says he's able to collect Shevach Karkaot, which is Mash, we could take the whole darn thing. How do you explain that? So clearly the Mishnah is against what Rav Ashi said in his Madura Patra.
When we say that Shimon gets the Shevach, it's going to be collected. Who's going to... Reuven's
going to
take it back from him at a later point?
Reuven or Levi?
Levi.
Shimon takes the Shevach from Levi. Now Levi's going to sue Shimon because Shimon gave him a guarantee. That's Shevach Karkaot. We collect the Shevach Karkaot against Reuven. What did I say? We collect the Shevach Karkaot against Reuven from the Chassid B'nai Chorin. And only the Chassid. If I can find a bank account, I'll take his money. Okay. But the question is, how can I collect it at all? I should never have paid it. Since he only had a right to be chaylik with me, the additional value, right? It's brilliant. Beautiful. So it's a great raya that you can't possibly hold of Yachloku because then Shevach Nechassim becomes a joke. I should never owe more than 50% of the Shevach Nechassim because by definition, I'm the lien holder too. It's great, no? Beautiful question. So let's just see that inside. So Meitzvah, how can you say Yachloku? It says in the Mishnah Shevach Karkaot Keitzad Hareisha Machar Sadal Chaveiro Vishbicha Uba Baal Chove Tarfa Kishugo Vegove Zaker Minachasim Meshubadim Veta Shevach Minachasim Bnei Chorin. If you're right, he can never collect more than Chatzi Shevach. Chatzi Shevach Mi Boile. Yeah, it's a brilliant question, but guess what? That's what it means. But he says the Shevach means whatever Shevach you can collect. So if that Shevach is 50%, so I'm 50%, what do I care? What did it say you could collect everything? It's just saying, whatever was collected by Levi, you can go, by Shimon, Levi can go and collect from Reuven. It's not saying how much you can collect. That's not our issue. So my govenami gedoni chatzi Shevach, which may be prorated Shevach, I don't really care. I'm only interested in pointing out this important distinction. The distinction being that the original value is considered to be a registered lien, and therefore I could collect it against subsequent buyers from the Chasim Mishubadi, whereas there's no way to determine. The truth is there's other issues that the Gemara discusses in Ksuvas, but we don't have to go into them. You know, let's take a simple approach. Since over here there's no way to define the investment, so Mimela, he doesn't have a registered lien on it. As I say, there's other approaches to why there wouldn't be a lien on the improvements. But in any event, we do not have a raya there in any way against the Madura Batra of Rav Ashi. And now it's time for our own Madura Batra. Nafal abayit alavi alaviv. O alavi almorisha vayit alav tuvat isha. Uba alchov. Yorshei av omrim abayin met rishon vacharkach meta av. Uba alayachov omrim av met rishon vacharkach meta abayin. Beit Shammai omrim yachloko, ubeit Hillel omrim nechassim becheskat tan. Tanat amamalvet chaviro b'shtar govem menechassim mishubadim. Ayudei edim govem menechassim b'nei chorin. Bo ishmo, diikni. And indeed he went out and was kan, amav. Alibet Rabbi Meir lana magdadev shalob aloy olam avisli lo tibay locha devare kana. Ki tibay locha alibet Rabbonin damri ena da magdadev shalob aloy olam. Om Rav Yosef tashma. Vichakomim omrim zaya pikeach. Shemachar lo ta karka, because this way you can collect that karka. What does that have to do with the issue? That's collecting from him directly. Minei kama, minei would be afil miglimed al katvi. That wasn't Shmuel's question. Kiko mi boilan di ikni, and then he was kind of a machar was the question. Or di ikni, and then he was kind of a horish is the question. That's irrelevant. Okay. There my. Omer Rebchana, I'll tell you tashma. Nafal abayad in our Mishnah. Alavi alaviv, alav amarishav, vaita alav kituvat isha uba alchov. Yoshea av omrim, abein met rishon, vacharkach met av. Baale chovot omrim, av met rishon, etc. So Yisak gadaitach diikni kana umacha, or diikni and kana vahorish lo mishta abein. Who cares who died first? Nihinami da av met beresha. It would still be a case of diikniu. Omele Reb Nachman, Zeira Chavin Tirgama. This is not a question of liens. It's a question of mitzvah. Mitzvah ala yetomim, lifra chovat avihen. Matkifla Rav Ashi, milva al peru. Rav Shmuel Damre Tavar, milva al peru, gova, lomene yoshiv, lomene al kuchot. Ela amani Rabbi Meri, di omra adam makne davar shelo bali olam. According to this question, Isaac Dakta Ikni, Kana Umachar, Dikni Kana Varish would not be Mishubad, then Mukharim is as big a lie as the Mugdamim. So am I sharing? It's a case of the Ikniu. Oh, that could be, but maybe it's Amani Rebbe Meiri. The Omar Adam Maknedevashlo Balayalam. Scotch that. Omra Mizharshia Mishmeda Ravat Tashma. Le Shevach Karka Ot Ketza. Hare Shemachar Sadelecha Verovi Ishbicha. Uba Balkov Vitarfa.
The question is,
he's got nothing to be gove because the shevach was only a coming afterwards. Well, maybe it's Rabbi Meir. So it could be makna the shevach. Im tim tzolomar, says the Gemara. Okay, we don't know, but let's say the ikni konamocher, or the ikni and the konavash lo mishtabe. We have no further interest in the sugya. But if you're going to tell me that im tim tzolom mishtabed, how about if it was lova v'lova v'chazar v'kanamahu? What would be the din there? Would we say lekama mishtabed or lebatra mishtabed? Omer of Nachman. Actually, Ravina, the first time around, Ravashi Madura Kama, he said, Rishon Kana. But the Madura Batra, the Ravashi, he said, Yachloku, and indeed the Ilkata is that Yachloku. So what are you going to do with these Sukhya of Sheva Karkaot? Basically, the Sheva Karkaot Ketzah, Hareisha Machar Sadele Chaveiro Vishbicha Baba Chovetorfa Kishukovego Vezakher Menachas Mishubanim Vezashevach Menachas Menechori. So now Im Ita, it should never be able to be Goved. It's only Chatzi Shevach should give him in the first place. Be boiling. True, my Goven Amin Yitani Chatzi Shevach.